Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne. And a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by film director Tony Germanario. Tony, how's it going?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm sure I butchered your name. I apologize.
No, you didn't. That was actually the best one I've heard.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I've been practicing. So, Tony, for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, how did you first become involved with the world of filmmaking?
Sure. I mean, probably goes way back. When I was in college, I took a screenwriting class that really kind of piqued my interest in the medium. I've been a film buff as long as I can remember. It was kind of really how I connected with my dad when I was a kid. But, you know, once I went to college, I was also a musician. So I took the one screenwriting course, and it was really the only film-related course at my school. So it wasn't like I made the best selection if that was the field I wanted to go into. But I did leave college as a musician. So I actually was a touring musician for a number of years. But then, you know, as you get a little older, you can't be on the road that much anymore. And I kind of put my energies back into film, which is, you know, I had to have a creative outlet. So it just started with, jumped back into screenwriting. Never had any formal training per se, but, you know, I wrote a screenplay several years ago that was awful. And the next one wasn't quite as awful, and they got a little bit better until, you know, I wind up where I am now.
Wow. So it's been a little bit of a journey, I see.
Yes, a long and winding road, as they say.
I hear you. What do you love most about, I guess, the art of filmmaking?
God, I really like just being able to get your vision out on film. To me, film is just it's the purest form of entertainment when you can do it right? When you can get something visually down that people can elicit a response from, whether it be positive or negative. You know, I think the worst thing that can happen is somebody watches something you make and they just go, it's okay. You know, to me, that's the word. I'd rather you love it or you hate it. I don't want to just, it was all right, because that means I didn't really do anything to get something out of somebody. So, I mean, to me, that's the coolest part of it.
Absolutely. I want to jump ahead and I want to talk about your newest film, Bad Frank. It was amazing. It was raw.
Oh,
thanks. You're welcome. I loved it. Tell me, I guess, where did the idea for this film come from?
It's interesting. So I don't know if it's something weird with me, but I almost never remember any dream. I have zero recall of anything that happens in my REM state. So about a couple years ago, I just happened to wake up in the middle of the night, and I had this, you know, this vision, I guess this dream, if you will, of you know, just a kidnap setting of a guy and a girl just in this basement with a kidnapping. And I started writing the script from there, and it just evolved from there. And what Bad Frank eventually evolved into is really quite a bit different than the original draft of the script, because the original draft of the script focused more on the kidnapping itself. But then once I brought Kevin into Donato on and Russ Russo on, you know, they were co-writers on the film. And, you know, they helped really evolve the script. You know, Kevin, who actually plays Bad Frank in the film, you know, he really, you know, leaned into the character. He really developed a lot of some of the things that, you know, came out on screen. You know, and there was a lot of things that you see on screen that weren't really in the script, but, you know, it really evolved from there. So it was kind of a weird place that it came from. And most people that know me know that the script is like kind of the opposite of who I am. So when people first saw the film, they're like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? So it was, and that was the reaction I wanted. So I guess it's better to get it out on film than in real life. So I guess that's, if that's my outlet, then so be it.
Absolutely. What was the filming process like for this? Was it particularly arduous, or did everything kind of come together seamlessly?
No, it came together about as seamless as you can. We shot the whole thing in only 11 and a half days. So in order to do that, you really have to have everything come together. So yes. I think we were very fortunate that virtually the entire cast and crew knew each other. So it was a very easy set in that regard. We kept everything very light. We kept everything moving, you know. And, you know, I knew Kevin. I knew Brandon Heitkamp from previous things that we had worked on together. They knew Russ. Russ knew Lynn Mancinelli. You know, Kevin was at the time engaged to Amanda Clayton. So, you know, everyone, it was like this close-knit group. And when you have that group together like that, it just makes it much more easy to get things done. So, you know, I don't know if it was just the stars aligning the right way or not, but, you know, we were very fortunate that everything went our way. Even, you know, one of the last scenes in the film with the rain, you know, we shot that over the course of a night, and the rain got heavier when we needed it to be heavier. So, you know, that's production value you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on, and, you know, we got it just because the weather happened to be the one day in August that rained last year. So, you know,
wow.
It turned out.
That's amazing. I wanted to ask, what would you say was like your highlight of, I guess, filming? Was there a particular thing that just really stood out to you and that is, like, I guess, most memorable?
I think that night scene was probably most memorable. You know, we started the day shoot at about 8 o'clock at night and went to about 8 in the morning, and you know, just everybody pulling together for something like that. You know, this was my directorial debut. I've never done anything like this before. So, you know, just to go through that process and see what people were prepared to do was amazing. And I also think just from an overall perspective, you just how far the actors were willing to go for their performances, right? Between,
yeah.
You know, Edmund and Flynn and Brandon and Russ and everybody. I mean, Tom Sizemore's work in this was ridiculous. Anybody who sees this, you know, this harkens back to some of the best stuff he's ever done. And he actually even told us that at one point, that he thought this was, you know, one of the three best performances he's ever given. And to put that into a film that was all of $80,000, you know, that's just crazy. I look back at that and I think, you know, how the hell did that happen and how did we get that? And, you know, something, I must have done something right somewhere for karma to show up on that film the way it did. So it was just, you know, we were very lucky and everyone just knocked it out of the park. So I think it just, if you look at it holistically, that's the thing that I would say.
Absolutely. Now, you've worn many, many, many hats in terms of filmmaking, you know, and with this being your directorial debut, out of the many jobs that you've done, what would you say is like your most favorite aspect of filmmaking, or your I guess your favorite role, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I've been writing for a long time, so I'll always like to write, but I think, you know, being able to take something that I've written and realize the vision, to me, that's the coolest thing ever, right? When you can actually put something in your head and, you know, pull it out of your head and put it onto film, that, to me, that's the coolest thing, right? So, like, we're working on the next project right now, and you know, I wrote that. I'm going to direct that again because at this point, I find it very hard to give something that I wrote over to someone else and let them put their stamp on it. You know, I guess, you know, someone paid me enough, that's one thing, but where I am,
yeah,
right now, I think, you know, that would be very difficult. I love the combination of writing something and then trying to realize it visually.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's got to be such a great feeling, you know, being a creator and, you know, and having your work, you know, to appear, you know, on the silver screen. Do you remember, you know, you spoke briefly about your first screenplay and it being horribly written, but do you remember, I guess, your first film, the first project you worked on? What were your, I guess, your emotions with that?
Yeah, it was, I mean, several years ago, I was hired to write a screenplay a number of years ago, gentleman by the name of Choy Skinner, right? He was, he's out in L.A., and, you know, I was trolling the screenwriting website looking for ways to sell my script when there was an ad up that said, you know, we've got the idea, we need somebody to write it. So I responded, and Choy, you know, looked at my stuff, and eventually he selected me to write the script, and, you know, it paid all of $100, but I was now a professional screenwriter. So, you know, that was a cool moment. But what happened was, is Choice and I just hit it off. He was, while he was out in L.A., he's an East Coast guy, right? So we hit it off right away, our personalities, and He's also an acting coach. So, you know, I still have my regular job that I was working, and I happened to be out in Los Angeles, and he said, you know, why don't you come by the acting class? It'd be great for you to see it and, you know, meet some of the actors and everything. So I went by the class, and I had never been to an acting class before, and it fucking blew me away. I mean, it's like nothing I'd ever seen before. You know, I'm just, just a guy out of Jersey is the way I like to think of myself, and going to an acting class and seeing what these people would do and, you know, what they prepared to do and, you know, how far they would go, I was just really moved by that. And so on the plane ride home, I wrote two short films, and I sent it over to Choice. I said, hey, you know, if you ever want to use these in your class, feel free. I wrote this one for Brandon. I wrote this one for these guys over here. So he called me up immediately. He said, you know, these are great. We should make them. I said, what are you talking about? I'm a writer. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, no, we should – let's get a little bit of money together, and we'll film these. We'll do it all in one weekend. So we put together a little crowdsourcing campaign, and we shot both films in one weekend. And, you know, they did pretty well in the festival circuit. So, you know, that being on set for that – you know, I didn't direct them. Choice directed them. I just produced them and helped, you know, just be a gopher on set because I had no idea what I was doing. But, you know, that was a phenomenal experience, you know, just being there and watching them, you know, take something that I had written and see actors do what they do with it. That's so cool. Like, even today when I'm directing something, you hire an actor to act. So I want them to, you know, bring what they bring to the role. You know, you bring someone in because they have talent and they have their perspective on something. So, you know, you want to let them live and breathe life into the character. Maybe you give them a little guidance, but, you know, that to me that was so cool. It's just seeing someone actually take to something that I had written and do something amazing with it. That's just mind-blowing.
Absolutely, absolutely. What, I guess, inspires you? You know, you're a creator, you write, you direct. I think you've also produced. What would you say inspires you, just as a whole?
That's a good question. I just love the creative process, right? I mean, I've got a family that's extremely supportive, and, you know, they let me do a lot of the crazy stuff that I like to do, and my wife is the best. She puts up with me. So what inspires me is just really making sure that the faith that they put in me doesn't go unfounded, right? I love, if I'm out with my friends, I love cracking them up with jokes or stories or whatever. And, you know, so kind of extrapolating that and putting it onto film. So, like, to me, we've done, you know, a bunch of screenings at festivals with Bad Frank and everything, and I just love the reactions. You know, the reactions are different in every screening that we've done. You know, sometimes they're horrified. Sometimes they laugh. Other groups will, like, they'll scream while another group will giggle. And, like, you know, that is so cool. Why did they think they see something one way while someone else saw it another? But just, I think that's really what inspires me is really getting something out of somebody. Because, you know what, life is hard, man. Life is not easy with all the shit that's really going on nowadays. I want people to come to a film that I've done, forget about everything for 2 hours, you know, check your baggage at the door, just come and enjoy yourself for 2 hours. Then you walk out of there and hopefully you'll talk about it. Hopefully you'll remember that it was fun. And then you come see the next one. So to me, that's what's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is, I think that's really admirable too. Yeah. Because, you know, there's so much going on and, you know, I mean, we're put here on this earth. We don't really know the reason why, but, you know, we're here. We're trying to make the best of it. And, you know, sometimes you just need to unwind. You know, you got to be entertained. You got to take your mind off things. And so
I think that's
really admirable.
Yeah, if you could do that for, like, 2 hours and someone can leave there and maybe they're a little less pissed off than they were when they came in or a little bit more thoughtful about something, then that's great. You know, that's my job, hopefully. And, you know, if I could do that, I'm a happy guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you about your next project. I know you probably can't share too many of the details with us, but how is that going? Are you pleased with the progress so far?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we're putting a great team together. Fortunately, almost all the people that I worked with on the last film from my crew are back. You know, we had a really tight-knit group, and, you know, we've got just about everybody back, but we're expanding a little bit. You know, we had one or two people that couldn't do it just because of schedules, but we have the primary team back together, and, you know, I think it's real exciting. So Lynn Mancinelli, who was one of the stars of Bad Frank, is going to be the lead in this film, and she's just a terrific actress. So actually, I wrote the script in collaboration with her. So I had this idea about a girl that goes through a very traumatic experience, and you know, she comes back home after a death in the family to confront everybody. So it's kind of dark, a little bit like the same tone of Bad Frank, but different angle, different story, different way to think about it. But, you know, I definitely am playing to, like, if you like Bad Frank, I think you're going to like this one a lot, too.
Very nice, very nice. And who would you say, I guess, has been the biggest influence on your style of filmmaking and kind of just your overall writing style and your approach? Was there somebody, a mentor that you had or a family member that just kind of helped to shape and mold you?
Not a family member, no. I mean, my dad was he was very pragmatic, so he was not a guy that would say go make films and go do this and go explore your creativity. He was punch the clock from 9 to 5 and and work as hard as you can and everything will work out for you. I'd say from not a mentor perspective, but as far as who do I idolize in those regards? I mean, I'm Italian from New Jersey, so obviously Scorsese has to be on the list. But, you know, Kevin Smith and Ed Burns are two guys that I've always looked up to. You know, they made these tiny little films totally different than anything else, and they did what they wanted the way they wanted, and they were huge successes. I mean, Clerks, to me, was a fantastic film. The Brothers McMullen, ditto there. I mean, those were two game-changing films that they did for next to nothing, you know, and that's really what we tried to do with Bad Frank is let's do a good product, a good story, and let's do it as cheap as we possibly can. So, you know, we filmed the whole thing for $80,000. You know, that's more than those guys spent on theirs, but I tried to, you know, it's a little different era now. I tried to keep it as inexpensive as we could, and, you know, I think we came out with something that was special, you know, whether it was lightning in a bottle or not, I don't know, but you know, I'm real pleased with the way it came out, and you know, I'm hopeful to. If I could follow the arc of their careers, that's the happiest I could possibly be, other than being with my family.
Absolutely, absolutely, I love it. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
Sure. So for the movies, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Bad Frank Movie, and we also have a Facebook page under the same name. Personally, for myself, I am Tony Germ all over the place. So TonyGerm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just about any platform you can mention, I'm there somewhere. So, and we've got great information coming out on Bad Frank, which is the film actually officially gets released next week. So the week of July 4th it comes out. July 7th is the official day. And right now it's available for pre-order on iTunes and Amazon, and you know we're so pumped to actually get it out there after a nice run on the festival circuit. It'll be great for it to get out there all over the place. And we're very fortunate to have Gravitas Ventures as our distribution firm and Lotus Entertainment as our sales agent. So we've got a great team backing us, and we're just so fired up to actually get it out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. For somebody that is has seen advertisements or talk of Bad Frank and is on the fence about seeing it, what would you say to persuade them to go see it, or how would you pitch it?
I mean, I'd say these are probably some of the most intense performances you'll ever see. I think Kevin Intodonato does an incredible job as Bad Frank. I mean, he's won multiple Best Actor awards at festivals across the board. Tom Sizemore as well. You know, he said this is one of his top three performances. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful that this film does really well because it's going to help him. Because he's such a nice guy, and, you know, I know he's had some challenges lately, but he deserves to be back on top. And people who see this film will see why. And it's just the overall performances across the board. You know, some of these people you may never have heard of before, but I'm really hopeful that because of this film you might, because they really, these people just kill it. They slay it on the screen. And, you know, that's the number one reason why people should watch this movie.
Love it. I love it. Colin, thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to ask you, I wanted to open the floor to you, excuse me, if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. You know, this is a lot of fun. I love talking about film and just, you know, film in general and you know, certainly about Bad Frank and letting people know about it. So, you know, I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, I'm always happy to talk to anybody. So even if people want to reach out on, you know, Twitter or send me a note somewhere, you know, I love just talking film. So I'm happy to do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
All right.
Guys,
take care.
Take care. Guys, that was filmmaker Tony Germanario. Oh, got tongue-tied. You can check out the links to his website. We'll put this in the body of the post. Bad Frank, his film comes out July 7th, so that's 4th of July weekend. Make sure to check that out. It is now available for pre-order on iTunes, Google Play, as well as many, many outlets. We'll put the links to those in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also available on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by going to the iTunes store, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, and you'll hear this interview. We're also available for Android users. For any Android users, just go to the Google Play store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name. You'll hear this interview with Tony. And lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can watch our show in the privacy of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku store on your Roku player or your Roku smart television. Search for our show name. Download the app. Once you download the app, you'll have access to all those programs and much, much more.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.